You know, hearing us be able to sing together and getting to see your faces, some of your faces that, you know, I've only talked to you on the phone. I haven't got to see you in person for quite some time. And even hearing you groan at the bad jokes I tell, you know, it is nice personally as a pastor to be back worshiping together in a way that's different than we were during COVID quarantine church. But I'll be honest, there are some things about COVID quarantine church that I will miss. First and foremost, breakfast. Breakfast. You see, when we were doing COVID quarantine church and, you know, March, April, May, and part of June, we would record the service here on Saturday morning. And then we would upload it for you to watch and enjoy and worship together with us on Sunday mornings. And that meant that on Sunday mornings at home, well, I didn't have to get everybody dressed and we didn't have to get here for church. And so we could just enjoy kind of a nice, leisurely Sunday morning. We took to brunching on Sunday morning. So about 10 o'clock, you know, maybe we would have coffee cakes or egg dish or donuts or make cinnamon rolls that morning and, you know, put just the right amount of icing, which is a 1-to-1 ratio between cinnamon roll and icing. That's how much you want on a good cinnamon roll. See, so you're my people. Like, you understand that, like, that drizzle is not going to cut it. That's not what I'm looking for. I want lots and lots of icing. But, you know, this morning I was here just checking on things and getting things opened up and getting things back together. We were back to normal, but I will miss that brunching aspect of COVID quarantine church. But with everything that happened over the past 3 or 4 months, I will be honest with you as well, that it got a lot of churches and pastors especially thinking about what's important on Sundays. What does God want to see happen on a typical Sunday morning? Because I feel like if we talked together about this 6 months ago, a year ago, a lot of your answers would go something like this. Well, for us to get up and go to church around 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and for us to have food and fellowship over donuts and coffee, and then for me to go to Sunday school where we would share our prayer requests with each other, and then, you know, we would study the Bible, and then we would come up to the worship service, and I might worship by, you know, by singing with everybody or giving to the offering as they pass the plate around, and then we would hear a sermon, and from there we would go out and I might enjoy lunch with somebody from church and we would just have a nice, nice day of it. You know, that we've got that long list of all the things that we would typically do, and, you know, during COVID quarantine church, almost none of those things were happening. And even as we gather back together for church in kind of phase 4 of the Illinois reopening program, the truth is maybe half of those, some of those things are happening. And for those of you that are worshiping from home still, you know, you're not even back to half. And so we have to ask, well, what does God want to see? Because I don't think we were sinning during those 4 months, but our checklist of things that we would normally do weren't there. So what's going on? What's happening with that? Is God upset that we weren't doing that checklist? Or is there maybe something deeper beyond that checklist that better reflects what God wants to see happen as we gather together on Sundays? I'll give you a hint. It's the second of the two, because we're going to be studying it together today in Matthew chapter 12. That's Matthew chapter 12. So if you've brought your Bible with you, would you open it up to Matthew chapter 12? So our summer in the Psalms is behind us, and now we are picking up once again in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be picking up in Matthew chapter 12, where we will be for the next several weeks together. And as we pick up together in Matthew chapter 12, we're going to study our passage, then we'll come back and we'll talk together about two important truths about what God desires to see happen on Sundays, or Sabbath in their case. But let's begin just by working through the text together. And as we do, we're going to see Jesus come into conflict with the Pharisees about God, what God wants to see happen on the Sabbath. We're going to see Jesus come into conflict with the Pharisees about what God wants to see happen on the Sabbath. At that time, as we pick up in verse 1, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Jesus and his disciples, they are traveling to a city, probably to a small town actually, where they are going to then worship in the synagogue on that Sabbath day. And as Jesus and the disciples are walking there, they're traveling through the grain fields, and his disciples, they're hungry. You know, breakfast is fun on Sundays, no matter when it is. And so they reach out and they take some grain off the sheaves. They take the head off the grain. You can't just eat it right off. And they pop it in their mouths. Some all-natural organic oats for them that Sunday morning. And they continue on their way. But we're told this. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to them, "Look! Your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Now, the disciples and Jesus, they were heading to town, and it certainly seems as if the Pharisees were basically waiting for them to come to town. They'd heard about this Jesus, this troublemaker, he and his disciples. And truth be told, they were probably waiting to criticize Jesus and his disciples for taking too many steps on the Sabbath, because they had a rule about how many of those you were even allowed to take. And if Jesus and his disciples were traveling from one town to another, they were probably breaking that rule. But when they see the disciples do something as terrible and sinful as eating those oats on a Sunday, well, Sabbath, that was a Saturday for them, they can't believe it. They say, "How could you do such a thing, such an unlawful, ungodly, terrible thing on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God. He and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests." Jesus says, you've got all tied up in knots about what we can and can't eat and how we can do that on the Sabbath. He says, but, you know, it seems kind of like you're picking and choosing here, because you know, if I look back on David and his companions when they were on the run from Saul, you know, they went to the tabernacle, and when they were hungry, they were eating consecrated bread that was only supposed to be eaten by the priests, and, you know, God didn't seem to think that was such a big deal, and you don't make such a big deal about it, but it is such a big deal that my disciples would just eat a couple oats as they're traveling through the fields, which is completely and utterly lawful. Something seems off there. Ah, but maybe the issue isn't about what they're eating, but the fact that they are doing work. Because you see, they had this big long list of rules of everything you should and shouldn't do on the Sabbath, and one of the things you could not under any circumstances do was work. And they considered even that act of plucking a head of grain, of peeling off the shell and eating it, that was harvesting. That was work to them, and that was unlawful. They said that was sinful in the eyes of God, and you could not do that, any work, on the Sabbath. But Jesus said, haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? He says, and if you're so concerned about the work issue, I got a hard problem with that too, because you know what? It seems to me like the priests are working awfully hard on Sundays. I can appreciate, you know, that sentiment. In their case, you know, they're going to the temple. They're making the sacrifices. They're changing the bread of the presence of the Lord in and out. They're doing a whole lot of work, and you seem to be okay with that. So again, Jesus says, it feels like you're almost picking and choosing here what you want to get up in arms about. But I'll tell you what Jesus says. I tell you, one greater than the temple is here. You know, if you had known what these words mean, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus basically says to them, my disciples are innocent. They are not doing anything wrong. And before you get up in arms and say, on whose authority would you say such a thing? Because that goes against our traditions and everything we say that should happen on the Sabbath according to our list. Jesus says, I'll tell you, one greater than the temple is here. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And because I am God made flesh, I get to say what God wants to see happen on the Sabbath. And then I love what happens in verse 9, because we're told this. Going from that place, he went into their synagogue, which means he didn't wait for an argument. He didn't wait for a rebuttal. This is the 2,000-year-old equivalent of a mic drop. He drops the truth on them, and then he just keeps walking as they are picking their jaws up off the ground. Like, what did he say? What's going on? What's happening? And Jesus just keeps walking. I came here to worship. And he heads on in to the synagogue. And then I can imagine them just kind of like figuring out what to do and chasing along behind them. Going that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Again, they're still caught up in their idea of what is supposed to happen and what's not supposed to happen on the Sabbath. And so Jesus comes up along to this man, and he's got a shriveled hand. And they're looking to catch him because in their eyes, I'll just tell you, you weren't even allowed to heal on the Sabbath. That would be work. That would be doing something. And they say, well, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They're hoping to catch him in this again. It didn't work the last time, and it's not going to work this time. He says to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? He says, whoa, here. He says, let's back up and let's go to common sense territory. He says, if any of you has a sheep and that sheep falls into a pit, maybe it's a crevice, maybe it just falls down and away from you. Maybe it's an old cistern that's dried out. There were those out in the desert places. He says, in that moment, what are you honestly, truthfully going to do? Are you going to say this? I'm sorry, sheep. I cannot help you, for lifting you up would be work. Rather, I am going to pray to God that you don't die down there, because it's not looking so good, and that nobody comes along and steals you. And that a wolf doesn't come along and eat you because you are quite delicious. No. You are going to have to wait there, and I will come back in 24 hours, and I will just trust the Lord that you will stay alive. I mean, it sounds good, but here's the truth. Here's what any one of them would do. Bloop! And you pick up the sheep. You save the sheep because it's just common sense. It's not a work issue. It's just, you know, just what any normal human being would do. It's not only useful for you, it's care and compassion for that animal. And then Jesus says this. How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? He says, if you would help a sheep in distress on the Sabbath, are you telling me you would not help a person that is in distress as well, a person who's created in the very image of God? Jesus says, again, let's just have some common sense here. He says, therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And lawful here, it doesn't just mean it is okay, not wrong. It means it is good. It is right. What God wants to see happen on the Sabbath is for you to do good to others. And so he says to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. And Jesus heals the hand of this crippled man and makes him well, not only showing that he believes this is lawful and good to do on the Sabbath, but showing that God gave him the strength, gave him the power, gave him the healing ability to do so as well. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And that's almost the saddest part of this. What do you think that man was going to do once he was healed? He was going to go worship. He was going to go praise the Lord. Everybody there that day saw a miracle happen. They would talk about what God did amongst them probably for years and years to come. But the Pharisees, instead of praising God, instead of worshiping him, they leave. They don't stay to worship. Note that. And they go to plot how they might kill Jesus because they were so caught up in what they thought should happen on the Sabbath that they didn't want to hear what God actually said should happen. They wanted to hold on to their rules and traditions instead. And so, you know, as we reflect on this passage, as we reflect on these truths of Scriptures, the question becomes, you know, what does it mean for us? What does God want us to take from these truths? Because the truth is, we don't really get caught up on whether you can take something out of a field and eat it. And, you know, I haven't healed anybody on a Sabbath, and I don't think you have, or we don't expect to see that happen probably at this church. If the Lord desired to do it, praise him, but that's not part of our normative Christian experience these days. So what do we do with this? Well, I think as we look at this passage as a whole, we can see deeper truths about what God does want to see happen on Sunday. This isn't everything God wants to see happen on Sunday. There's not a lot of talk about worship in this passage, although I would say that is the number one thing God wants to see happen on Sunday, for us to come together and worship him and praise him. But that's not what Jesus came into conflict with the Pharisees about, because as misguided as they were, that was one thing that even they could figure out. But in some of those things that they did have conflict over, I think we can see truths about what God desires to see happen here, among our faith family even, as we gather together on Sundays. And the first is this, that God desires to see us blessed as we rest in him on Sundays. God desires to see us blessed as we rest in him on Sundays. And when I say blessed, and you know me, it's not like the health, wealth, and prosperity type of blessing. But it is very much the blessing that comes from resting in the Lord and knowing that he provides. The major conflict for this in our passage is how God provides even the daily bread for his people. How he provides food for them, whether we're talking about the disciples as they're going through the grain field and eating some grain that's there, or whether we're talking about David and his men eating the bread of the presence as they were on the run from Saul and God providing for them in that way. And we do sometimes have our daily bread provided even as we gather together. Some of you may have had your mom already pull out that little bag of Goldfish crackers that she keeps in her purse in case you get hungry during the service. And it's not just kids. Some of you husbands, your wife may have slipped you that Trident gum that she gives you every single Sunday after the singing, because she doesn't want to hear you chomping on your gum while we're doing that. But for the service, you know, that's your treat that you get to enjoy, you know, during the service. You know, we do enjoy our daily bread and are blessed by that. But I think there's that deeper truth of Sabbath. Sabbath is to be a blessing to us. Sundays are to be a blessing to us as we rest in the Lord. It especially comes up in what Jesus says. My kids are getting food now in the front row since I brought it up. I hear Carol like crunch it, like, oh yeah, you got food today, Mom? You know, as Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, you know, God desires mercy, not sacrifice. And in other parallel translations, they also include that Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That Sabbath is to be a day to rest in the Lord. That he provides for us. That we can take a time out of our regular go, 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 very busy lives. And we can set aside time to worship God and celebrate him and know that he will provide us the things we need. And sometimes that is our daily bread. But there are a multitude of things we're blessed with as we rest in the Lord and we come together on Sundays. For you, it may have been just a very stressful week. You know, your job may have handed out a big long list of your new COVID-19 procedures. And it's thick. And they thought of everything. Everything but one thing. Common sense. Because as you're looking through these things, it's like, these things are contradictory, and how are we supposed to do this, and who put this together? And then when you ask the person that gave them to you, like, what you're supposed to do, they don't care. You got to do them. This is what it is. You got to do it. You got to make it happen. And it is so stressful to figure it out. It's just to come, to set aside an hour of your time at home and just be able to sit down and worship and know that there is a God that is in control and that has thought through these things, and to be able to rest in Him, there is great blessing in resting in Him in that way. You know, for some of you, it may have been a hard, stressful week because of things with your kids, because you see, your daughter posted something on Facebook, and then you thought you would post a really funny response, and you thought it was funny. Her husband, not so much. And so then he posted something back, and you posted something back, and then it became a thing, and you had to apologize. But you wanted to apologize, but he didn't want to accept that apology. And it's been rough this week, and you haven't slept the best, and you feel bad about it. And to be able to come to church and just and sing about God's grace, and the fact that we have forgiveness in Him, and the blessing that there is, you know, it's restful. It does something for your soul that you don't get elsewhere. Maybe for you, it's just that this week has been like go, 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 busy, busy, busy with stuff with kids and work and with family, and there's been so much going on, you haven't even been able to stop to catch your breath. And for you, there's an incredible blessing in just and resting, and having an hour where you're not checking your email, where you're not trying to get things checked off a list, where you get to do the same things you've done since you were a young girl or a young boy, and to just be able to sing, and to be able to hear from the word of the Lord, and to just be able to have that rhythm in your life. There is an incredible blessing in resting in the Lord in that way, and that's part of what God desired. That's part of what God wants us to receive on Sundays, on the Sabbath, as they talked about it in the Scriptures, that we could rest in Him and know that He will provide for us. It's a beautiful part of what God intends for us as we come together. So that's the first thing. I said we were going to talk about two. So the first thing that God desires to see happen on Sundays is that we would be blessed as we rest in Him. The second is that God desires that we would be a blessing to one another. God desires that we would be a blessing to one another. We see this especially in Jesus' interaction with the man with the crippled hand, the man that Jesus heals. And through that interaction, Jesus speaks these oh so important words. He says, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." It is lawful, it is right, it is what God wants to see for us to do good for one another on the Sabbath. And if made at home cinnamon rolls and, you know, getting to make pancakes and getting to do egg dish and coffee cake, if that was one of the great blessings of COVID quarantine church, I will say this, that this is probably the hardest part about COVID quarantine church. Because honestly, truthfully, this idea of doing good to others has become marginalized and in some ways pushed all the way to the side. And I understand why, for a multitude of reasons. We're not really being around each other very much during COVID quarantine church. And even when we were doing COVID quarantine church, you know, let's be honest, what was it? You would gather together with your family. You would sit down on your couch. And you could even pick the time you did it. Some of you, I know, did it every morning at 10:30 just to stay in that routine. Some of you said it was really enjoyable for us to do worship on evenings. And we could just rotate it around our schedule. I know some of you, Tuesday afternoon, that was the time that just worked for you. And it could, guess what? It could rotate around you. It could be what was convenient for you. And worship was something that you did between you and God. And those parts are all good. God wants us to worship, and we talked about that. God wants us to be blessed as we rest in Him. We talked about that. But when it's just us and God, there is something missing. Because you see, we're also intended to do good for others. As we are blessed abundantly by God and we worship Him, that should overflow in our lives and should be an opportunity for us to be a blessing for one another. But we don't have that as much these days because you're not catching up with friends in the vestibule. You're probably not going out for lunch like you used to. You're not sitting together in your Sunday school classes sharing prayer requests. You're not having donuts and coffee. And that's true for those of you that are here and those of you that are worshiping from home as well. Those parts that are so focused on fellowship and encouragement and building up and strengthening one another, they're not there the same way they have been in times past. And that's something, honestly, truthfully, that because of that, I feel like we need to be overly intentional about together, looking for, seeking out opportunities to do good for one another, because it's not going to come as naturally as it has traditionally done so when we come together on Sundays. So maybe because you're not there to see your friend on Sunday mornings and during the greeting time when you shake hands to say, oh, hey, how did stuff go with you at work this week? I know you were getting those COVID-19 guidelines. Because you don't have that natural interaction that happens on a Sunday, maybe you need to go out of your way to text or call or reach out during the week to find out those things. Because you're not in Sunday school class to share those prayer requests like you normally do. Which would, by the way, then remind you that, you know, you needed to talk to your friend who you'd seen that Facebook comment thread happening. You saw it happening there online and you were, oh, no, stop saying things. No, this isn't going to go well. You would say something at church. You might even bring it up and maybe they'd share a prayer request about it. Well, that's not going to happen. You don't have Sunday school in that way. So what do you do? Well, maybe you're looking for another opportunity to connect, to do good, to encourage. And so, hey, you know you play golf, they play golf. Maybe see if they want to go play a game of golf one night this week. You can both get out. You can get some exercise. You don't have to wear masks when you're out there walking around on the greens. Maybe that's what you do, looking for that opportunity to do good that is going to be outside of what normally happens on Sunday because we don't have it on Sundays the way we normally do. Maybe it's as close as your own home. Maybe your spouse, your husband, your wife, maybe they've had a go, 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 go week. And so maybe even this afternoon, you look for an opportunity to do good for them. Maybe it's taking the kids and giving them some quiet time. Maybe it's making them whatever their favorite treat is. Maybe they're like, hey, your pastor was talking about cinnamon rolls on Sunday. You know I love your cinnamon rolls. You want to make double icing? And maybe you do that for them just as a way to show love, to do good for others. Because honestly, you know, truthfully, this is an area where we are going to struggle, where we've probably been struggling, and we will struggle into the future as long as we are in this COVID-19 holding pattern, because it tends to isolate us. It tends to push us off on our own. We are not around others. And because of that, part of what God desires to see in us does tend to either get marginalized or even fall by the wayside. But friends, God wants us to be the body. We are to be a family, and it doesn't happen the way it normally does. I understand that. It just means we need to work harder. We need to dig a little bit deeper. We need to be intentional about looking for opportunities to do good for each other. Those other parts of what God desires to see happen on Sabbath, we're pretty good at those. We can even sometimes do those through screens. We can worship God. And you know, we can be blessed as we rest in Him. But we also need to seek opportunities to do good for each other, for the body, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask that even in the week ahead, Lord, that through the stirring of your Spirit, you would give us opportunities, and that you would help us to see those opportunities to do good for others. Lord, all of our lives are busy, and all of our lives are hectic, and in truth, some of them more so than they've ever been. But Lord, amidst all of that, we ask, first of all, that you would help us find that rest in you. We know you're there and you provide. And Lord, as we are blessed by you, would you give us the strength, the opportunity, the eyes to see them, and to be a blessing to others? Might we share your blessing, your love, your care, your comfort with those around us? We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you this morning with a word of the Lord from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. You are dismissed.